little vacation to start off the year. Never done it before. It was really fun. We were super excited. So we were scheduled to leave to our destination at about 3 o'clock is when our plane was supposed to leave. So we're excited. We start driving to the airport about 1 o'clock. We want to get there a little early. And on our way there, we discover that our plane has been delayed by at least 6 hours. Totally miserable. So we're like, all right, gosh, this is not great, but we're going to get there. I guess we'll go have some food. At least we're spending time together, right? So we get to the airport, we go to have dinner, and then I look it up again, and our flight gets pushed back an additional 3 hours. Okay, this is a long time, all right? So we're super frustrated. We're sitting at DIA for hours. In the end, we ended up waiting at the airport 12 hours before we could take off. 12 hours. If you went to Thailand with me, like Ryan Medford here, we were in an airport on a layover for 12 hours. Trust me, it's not very fun. Now, we couldn't figure it out because the weather was nice. Everything was fine outside. We couldn't figure out why are we so delayed. But then we learned later that the reason that we were so delayed was because the airport that we were going to, they had closed down one of the runways. They'd closed down one of the runways. Now, I never realized that runways were such a huge deal when it came to travel. I didn't realize that a runway could make or break your travel schedule. I had no idea. I figured that airports had tons of runways. But I did a little research and I came to learn that airports actually don't have all that many runways. DIA has 6 runways. 6, that's it. I thought they'd have like 20. JFK Airport has 4 runways. O'Hare, that's the busiest airport in the world, has 9. McCarran has 4. So when an airport runway gets blocked, it impedes travel incredibly, incredibly. Take a look at two of these pictures we're gonna throw up really quick. This is what it looks like when they close off a runway, all right? They basically put these big X's on the ground, or they put these big lighted X's, and so essentially, what it tells the pilot is you cannot land on this runway. You cannot land here. It's impossible to do so. And here's what happens. I did a little math. DIA averages 45,000 flights per year. That works out to about 123 flights per day. That means that every day about 20 planes land on each of those 6 runways. So if you close one of those runways, just one of them, that's 20 flights. That's 20 planes that have to be redirected. That works out to about 4,000 passengers. Plus, it delays and slows down 20 plus other planes. And so you're looking at about one runway closing down impacts 40 plus, 40 is like the minimum, 40 plus flights, which turns out to be almost 10,000 people. And that doesn't include the people who are waiting at the airport for their flights. One runway closed down makes a huge, huge impact on travel. Now, why am I telling you about runways? Why am I talking about runways? The title of my message tonight is this: Open the Runways. Open the runways. Say, open the runways.
Open the runways.
Open the runways.
Open the runways.
I read an illustration recently from a friend, and this is a person that I know. He's a pastor friend, and he wrote a book. And he gave this incredible illustration that was so challenging me. He said this guy flies all around the world. He flies all the time. And he said that one time he was flying and he was about to land and he looked out his plane window and he was about to land at the airport. He saw all these different runways at this airport. And he felt that God spoke something very specifically to him about the runways. And God said this, he said this to him, "Your heart has many runways. And I want to land my spirit on the runways of your heart, teach you new things spiritually, cause you to experience new realities. But my question to you is this: will you allow me to land on the runways of your heart? Will you open the runways of your heart, or will you close, put an X over the runways of your heart?" I think that this illustration is so relatable to us. See, I think that all of us, I think that illustration's so great because all of us, everybody in this room, you have runways in your heart. You have runways in your heart that God and that God wants to land his Holy Spirit on. But the question is this, I think that, or the reality is this, I think that oftentimes those runways are blocked. I think that oftentimes the runways of our heart are blocked for some reason or another, and that we're not able to experience the fullness of what God would want to do in our hearts. And I think that when those runways are blocked, I think it leads to two things that I think that high schoolers and middle schoolers suffer from. It leads to two things. It leads to either apathy, or it leads to this extreme intense, like, hunger for more. It's hunger for something greater. My hope and prayer through this series that we're going to do called Hungry for More is this, is that at the end of it, or as we go through it, that you would be hungry for more of God's Holy Spirit. My hope is that through this series, some of the runways of your heart that maybe you didn't realize were closed a little bit, that they might be opened up a bit. So my question to you is this. You don't have to answer out loud, but I want you to answer in your heart. Are you hungry for more? Are you hungry for more? Now, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit quite a bit in this series. And I know that whenever you bring up the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of different reactions when it comes to the Holy Spirit. I remember a time in my life when I was in your shoes, sitting where you're sitting, when I heard the word Holy Spirit, it freaked me out. It turned me off. See, I was raised in a church environment that the Holy Spirit was a reality, but we didn't really talk much about the Holy Spirit. Not that our church thought the Holy Spirit was bad, we just didn't really learn about him. My family came to Faith Bible Chapel, and all of a sudden, we started learning more about this thing called the Holy Spirit. And I can remember the first night that I came to student ministry right here in this church, the youth group that you're now a part of. It wasn't called FSM back then, it was called Rockpile. I remember my first time coming to Rockpile. My first experience was a night when they were doing an extended worship Holy Spirit night. This is my first experience. I remember coming and some of the night's vague, but basically I remember this. They showed us the video of what the Holy Spirit was, like moves of the Holy Spirit in other countries. And then they started worshiping and they started praying over people. And I was this young Baptist boy and I was standing in the back and I was horrified and I was terribly nervous that somebody was gonna pray over me and that something crazy was gonna happen. I was terrified, so I stood in the back the entire night. I remember watching as they prayed for one of the girls and she ended up falling down. And that was like all I could take. Like I could not take anymore. I couldn't believe this and I was totally freaked out. See, I learned what this whole thing was. I learned that it was called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what they were calling it. Now, I was a Baptist, so I knew what baptism was. Baptism was when you took a person, you dunked them under the water and they came up and hallelujah. But this thing, this baptism, I had never seen this before, and I wasn't a fan of it. It freaked me out. And so, as a young person in middle school at that time, I put an X on the runway of my heart when it came to the Holy Spirit. I said, if that's what the Holy Spirit is, this was my experience, I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want anything to do with this thing called the Holy Spirit, because that was just weird, and I don't want anything. And that X, that blockade of the runway of my heart, it stayed there for a very, very, very long time into my young adult years. It took years for that to wear off. It took years for me to explore again this idea of the Holy Spirit. I wonder if some of you are like me. I wonder if some of you have had experiences like that before. I wonder if some of you, maybe you were in a church service and somebody was prayed over and they began to speak in a different language and you weren't understanding why, and it startled you a little bit. Maybe you were in a church service before and maybe somebody was being prayed over and all of a sudden they ended up falling over and you were like, what the heck is going on? Why did that happen? That's not supposed to happen. Worse, maybe you've had an experience where maybe you felt that you were forced or you were pressured into being prayed over for the Holy Spirit. And when something didn't happen to you, you just felt like, you felt low, you felt down, you felt like something was wrong with you. You see, we've all had different experiences when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And I think that sometimes, some of those experiences that we have that maybe weren't so favorable can cause us to actually turn off from the Holy Spirit. And what ends up happening is we put X's over the runways of our hearts. And we say, you know what? Whatever that was, I don't want any part of that. So if that comes along again, nah, that's not for me. And I think this is a tragedy, and here's why. Because I've come to realize this, that sometimes these uncertainties we have, sometimes these questions we have, sometimes these fears that we have that are legitimate, they're legitimate fears, they're not bad, but if we let those go too long unanswered, what can end up happening is this, is that we end up living a life where we're closing off what God wants to do in our hearts. We're actually closing off what the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And I think that when that happens, the devil becomes very, very happy because he knows that if he can close off that runway, he has won. And he gets very, very excited. He gets very, very happy about that. I think the truth is this, you guys. The Holy Spirit is real. The Holy Spirit is active. And the Holy Spirit wants to do real work in your heart. He wants to do real work inside of your heart. I don't know what your experience with the Holy Spirit's been. I don't know what it's been in your life. Maybe it's been life-giving to you. Maybe it's been more like mine where it's been a mystery or something you don't understand, or maybe you've had a bad experience. I don't know what it is, but no matter what, I want to challenge you with this tonight when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Are you ready? I want to challenge you with this. Don't allow barriers to block what God wants to land in your heart. Don't allow the barriers that you have set up to block what God wants to land in your heart. See, sometimes I think that our spiritual life can look a little bit like this. Okay? There we are. We're going along in life, and we see Jesus, and we come to know him, and it's really exciting. And we become Christians, and we're saved, and hallelujah, and oh, it's great, and then we go on with our life, and God wants to do something in our heart, but we get a little nervous, and so we block it. We're like, no, I don't want any of that, or maybe we become fearful, and so we say, no, I'm going to close myself off to that. Maybe we say, I've had a bad experience, so no, I'm not going to ever deal with that again. Maybe we say, you know what, I'm just comfortable with the way that I'm at, and so I'm not going to allow this to happen, and these blockades happen in our heart. Well, eventually, something's going to give. Something's going to give. Students, look at me. Will you please consider opening the runways of your heart tonight? Would you please consider really thinking through and really being challenged to open up the runways of your heart that maybe you've closed off? Let me talk to you tonight about what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your heart. I mentioned earlier that there's this thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit that I experienced kind of in an odd way when I was younger. But I want to explain what that means tonight for you, because I want it to be clear to you of what that is. Some people call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some people call it the filling of the Holy Spirit. I want to just take like exactly what's in the Bible and just explain it to you, all right? There's two major traits when it comes to this thing we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. First of all, it's separate from your conversion experience. That's what the Bible indicates to us, all right? What that means is this, is that when you put your faith in Jesus, you become saved. Your sins are forgiven. You have eternal life. But the Bible indicates that the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is actually something that comes later. It's a different experience. In Acts 1:4, Jesus told his disciples this, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard it from me. In other words, Jesus, his disciples, man, they believed in him. They believed in him with all of their heart, but they'd not received this thing called the gift of the Holy Spirit. They'd not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, in chapter 8, we read about Philip. He was a disciple, and Philip went and preached to a group of people in Samaria, and they became Christians, and they were baptized in water, and they were following Jesus, and their sins were forgiven. But then the apostles, Peter and John, heard about it, and they went to these guys, and they said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we've never received this thing. And they said, we're gonna give it to you. They prayed over them, and the Bible tells us this. The Holy Spirit had not fallen on any of them, but when they had prayed over them, they laid their hands on them, and then they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's clear that this experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the Bible is different than salvation. Maybe you've never heard that before. Maybe this whole idea is something kind of foreign to you. Like, what in the world is that? The Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes on a person, it's for the purpose of power. Luke 24 tells us this, "And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you." This is Jesus talking. "But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Power. Acts 1:8 says this, "But you will receive power," say power, "when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." In Acts, we read about how the disciples were gathered in a room and Jesus had said, "Wait for this Holy Spirit to come upon you." But they had no idea what this was. All they were told to do was wait. And so in Acts, we read that the disciples are hanging out and they're waiting in this room. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit floods upon the room. And all of a sudden, everybody in that room becomes filled with the Holy Spirit. They begin to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them. What's interesting is when we look at that, it says this, that all of them that were in the room were filled up. I think that's so significant for this reason. I think that the disciples in that room had no expectations of what the Holy Spirit was going to do. They had no expectation. They had no idea. Jesus didn't give them any clues about what this was going to look like. They just kind of were waiting, and all of a sudden when it happened, they had no preconceived notions. They received it. I think that sometimes our expectations can be a hindrance. When we think, well, the Holy Spirit's going to just move this way, or the Holy Spirit's going to do this, or he's not going to do that. Sometimes it can hinder us from experiencing all that the Holy Spirit wants to do in our hearts. No expectations or barriers, and the Holy Spirit was allowed to move freely on the people. What happens when someone is baptized in the Holy Spirit? What happens? We'll take a look in the Bible, and this is pretty common. In Acts 19, it says this, "When Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying." In the Bible, it's pretty standard that when somebody was prayed over to receive the Holy Spirit, that's what happened. They either spoke in tongues or they begin to prophesy. That was pretty much the sign that follows. Now, in my personal experience, I've seen it in a number of different ways. Oftentimes when a person's prayed over to receive the Holy Spirit, they do get this gift of a different language that the Holy Spirit gives them. But sometimes a person is filled with the Holy Spirit and they can't remain standing. They just have to sit down or they have to lay down. Like the Holy Spirit comes upon them in a certain way. Sometimes nothing occurs on the outside. Sometimes when you pray over somebody for the Holy Spirit, something internally happens inside of their heart. And sometimes I've known people who were prayed over to receive the Holy Spirit and then nothing externally happened, and then they went home and they had an experience with God. They had an experience with the Holy Spirit just by themselves. That happens too. What does it take to receive the Holy Spirit? It's not a whole like ton of things. It's pretty simple. It's having faith that the Holy Spirit can move in your heart. It's desiring it. It's having a desire that, man, I want the Holy Spirit to come into my life. I want him to fill me up. And then it's having somebody who's been filled with the Holy Spirit pray over you and pray for you to receive that. So why, Zach, would I want more of the Holy Spirit in my life? Why would I want that? Why would that even matter? My life's good. Things are going well. Why would I want the Holy Spirit? Why would I want more of the Holy Spirit? Here's why. When Jesus was on earth, he made this startling statement to his disciples. In John 14:6, he said this to his disciples, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He'll bring to remembrance all that I have said to you." And then not long after that, a few verses later, he says this, "I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, then I'm going to send him to you." Here's what Jesus was essentially saying. This is unbelievable. Because we all know, we've all seen Easter plays, and we've all heard about Jesus, and we all talk very highly of Jesus. We love Jesus. Jesus is fantastic. Most of us would say, yeah, I'd love to hang out with Jesus. I would love to have seen him like live and in person. But Jesus is essentially saying in these verses, he says, listen, I know that you love me, but I came to live a perfect life, to die in your place for your sins, so that when you put your trust in me, you have eternal life, you have forgiveness of sins. But I, you know, I know that you love me, but that's not all I have for you. And if I stay with you, I can't send you the Holy Spirit. Now, let me tell you about the Holy Spirit. Man, Holy Spirit is awesome. Holy Spirit is awesome. And you know what? As much as you'd like me to stay around, I don't want to stay around because I want you to have this gift of the Holy Spirit that I want to give you. Holy Spirit is awesome. And if I stay with you, you can't have him. But if I go, you're going to get him, and I want you to have him. What's the Holy Spirit going to do? Well, here's what he's going to do. The Holy Spirit is going to empower you. The Holy Spirit's going to empower you. He's going to empower you with boldness and courage. He's going to equip you. Are you hungry for that? The Holy Spirit's going to give you gifts, not like little presents with like a little matchbox car in it, something like that. No, no. He's going to give you real spiritual gifts, and he's going to actually partner with you and work through you through these gifts to bless other people and to bless the church. And it's going to be unbelievable. You're going to do things that you've never done before. You're going to experience things you've never experienced before. You're going to, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, listen, you're going to get thoughts in your mind, and they're going to not be your thoughts. They're going to be God's thoughts. And you're going to speak those to somebody, and they're going to say, oh my goodness, how did you know that? Well, it's because the Holy Spirit is working through you. Some of you, Jesus would say, I'm going to give the gift of healing to. That means that when somebody comes and they're ill, you're going to lay your hands on them, and guess what? You're going to pray, and they're going to get healed. Man, I'm going to do some incredible things to you, so I've got to go away because you want this Holy Spirit in your life. Are you hungry for that? You're going to partner with God. You're going to do the miraculous with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to help you learn what it means to follow after me. He's going to help you as you go along. He's going to coach you. He's going to tell you where to go, whether to go right or whether to go left. He's going to guide you. Are you hungry for that? Those realities are available to you. Those realities are available to you right now. Holy Spirit wants to work and do those types of things in your heart, but many of us close the runway of our heart. Many of us say, I don't want that. I'm good where I'm at. I'm good the way that I am. And I think that the Holy Spirit wants to challenge us these next few weeks in that area. I think he wants to challenge you to remove some of those areas in your heart that have been blocked, that you haven't allowed him to access. And he wants to land his Holy Spirit in your heart in a brand new way and do things in your heart that you've never experienced. For a long time, I had the X up over that runway in my heart. I didn't want anything to do with the Holy Spirit. My biggest fear was that the Holy Spirit would make me look foolish. My biggest fear was that I would look stupid if for some reason like I was prayed over and I started, who knows what would have happened. I was fearful of that. I was fearful of what people would think, what my parents would think. I was fearful of this, fearful of that. I was just fearful of the moment. I was fearful of that moment of getting prayed for to receive that. And I don't want anything to do with it. But here's what I wasn't afraid of. I wasn't afraid that maybe I would miss out on what God wanted in my life. I wasn't afraid that I would miss out on a gift that God wanted to give me, that God would want to give me, that he would use to impact hundreds of people. I wasn't afraid of that. I wasn't afraid that potentially I'd just remain stagnant in my walk with Christ and that I'd never go to deeper places. I wasn't afraid of that. But as I look back, man, I should have been. I should have been. Who knows what the Holy Spirit wants to do through each and every one of you guys? Who knows what he wants to do? Who knows? Is your heart in a place where you can remove some of those barriers and say, no, I want more of what you have for me. I want more. Get hungry, you guys. Get hungry for more. Get hungry for more. Don't be a person who settles for the status quo in your faith. Don't be the person who says, I'm just going to coast and be fine. Get hungry. Get hungry. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, the Holy Spirit is going to pour into you in a way that's going to be a benefit and a blessing to you. Next week, we're going to have the opportunity. We're going to do service a little bit different, and we're going to have a little bit more of extended worship. And we're going to have an opportunity for you to be prayed over to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit if you never have before. Now, in saying that, I realize that that might make some of you not come next week. But I really hope that would not be the case. The reason I wanted to explain some of this, the reason why I wanted to tell you is because I'd never want to spring something on you guys and have you be caught off guard and have you not have a chance to process a little bit. But we really feel, you guys, that we're in a great place in our student ministry. We're in a great place with the students who've been coming. We're in a great place with what's been happening here at FSM. But we don't want to stay on a surface level. You guys, we want deep things for you. We want great things for you. And we feel as though there's an opportunity, and this is the time right now when we need to go a little bit deeper. And we need to open up our hearts, and we need to be ready to receive what the Holy Spirit wants to give to us. I have to be honest with you about something. If you open yourself up and say, God, I want to remove some of these barriers. I want to be open to what you have for me. There is a risk involved. So I just want to give it to you up front. There's a risk involved, and the risk is this. You might not be able to live the same ever again. The risk is that God might do something in your heart that might change you. The risk is that you might receive something that you weren't expecting. My question to you is this, though. Are you hungry for more? Are you hungry for that? Students, may we never be a student ministry. May we never be a generation that is content just living our life. Let's get hungry. Let's get hungry for the things of God.